Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro, a ministry of Paradise Global Mission. Join us today in our series, Hope in a Time of Crisis, with co-hosts Alfredo Canencia, Billy Lyle, and Martin Arinaga. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we encourage you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-hosts, Martin Arinaga, Alfredo Canencia. Billy Lyle is away today, and we're here with our special guest, Joe Onosai. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here with a series entitled Hope in a Time of Crisis. How are you today? What is weighing on your heart right now? Are you looking forward to a great weekend? Are you seeing the cup of life half full or half empty? Are you looking forward to the things that God has for you? Or are you wondering, God, are you there? Can you help me? We all go through times like that. You're not alone. We all feel at times like we need a helping hand. We need the divine help of the Lord. We need Him to intervene in our lives. We need Him to remind us, I'm still there. I'm there to lift you up, to hold your hand, to stand with you. And we're here today to remind you that God's love for you is strong. His love has not changed. His faithfulness and commitment to you is unyielding. And even now, He reminds you and assures you of His love and His grace and His care. Today, I'm very excited for you to hear from our guest. He is someone exceptional. He has really been one of my heroes through the years. Hawaii is a place of fabulous athletes, and our guest today is among the elite. Joe Onosai, he has a fascinating story, a marvelous career, which took him from the housing projects of Kuhio Park Terrace to the Dallas Cowboys training camp to the doorstep of becoming the world's strongest man. In between, he started as a fullback for Pac-5, and he was named Advertiser's ILH Offensive Player of the Year in 1982. He helped the Wolfpack with their first Prep Bowl championship that season. A daunting foe if you were standing on the other side, and just a joy to watch. He earned a scholarship at UH, where he moved to offensive line and then garnered all Western Athletic Conference honors in 1985 and 1986. Joe was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in the sixth round of the 1987 NFL draft. But during training camp, he suffered a serious neck injury. Doctors advised him to quit football. And things began to really take an amazing turn at that point. But why should I just keep talking about it when our guest is sitting here with us right now? Joe, thank you for joining us today.
Aloha, Reverend. I'm very honored and privileged to be here.
So, Joe, you know, you grew up at KPT, Kuhio Park Terrace. What was it like growing up? What kind of challenges did you face?
I think pretty much the same challenges that a lot of our kids that are growing up in the housing, you know, you got a lot of drugs, alcohol, abuse, you know, neglect, you know. But, you know, I was fortunate that I had a family, especially a mom that really cared, and through all the things that were going on in Kuhio Park Terrace, By the way, you know, God bless Cooper Park Terrace. I was always praying for KPT now, okay? And and I remember back then, you know, KPT stood for kill people today or kill people tomorrow, you know. And but I was fortunate that I had a mom that loved me and cared for me. And then, you know, I also had a coach, his name Lance Carrera, actually several coaches, George Chang, that was part of the Parks and Recs League, and then also the Police Activity League, that gave the kids an opportunity to test their talents, you know, and their abilities in athletics. And, you know, obviously for me, athletics has been huge because it's given me an opportunity to get an education, to go to a good high school and also a good college. So I'm very thankful for that.
You know, as your God blessed you with some athletic genes.
Small kind.
and size and speed and strength. You know, as you grew up, how did God make himself known to you in the younger years?
You know, I grew up in a Catholic church, Our Lady of Peace Cathedral in downtown. And I remember even being an altar boy, you know, that I always had an interest in God. But I didn't realize, you know, my mom would constantly share with me that my destiny was to be a man of God. And then she shared a story about a young woman that grew up, that got raped 3 times, different kids, you know, from actually 3 different times from the same man. And this, you know, she had a hard life. But one day she met a man and got married and really loved this guy and then gave birth to this other child. And that child was actually born in the middle of a hurricane. And what happened was her father, who was a minister back then, found out, you know, wanted to make sure his daughter was okay. So he walked across the whole island to come to the village, and finally, when he held the baby, this minister held his baby, grandchild, you know, he prophesied over that kid and said, you know, this child is going to carry my mantle. Now, understand that this woman had brothers that, you know, never got their hands laid on them by their father and to pass on that mantle, but this young child, you know, was prayed for and was prophesied that he would become a man of God. Well, today that man of God is here talking to you.
Whoa.
You
wow.
know,
wow.
And never realized that as a young child that my grandfather, who was a man of God and a minister of God, you know, saw, and the Lord told him that this child that was born in the middle of a hurricane wow. is going to become a man of God.
Wow.
And, you know, my mom never really shared that story with me until her latter years before she went on to be with the Lord.
Hmm.
But I am always amazed, you know, when I think about that story, how God's hand was upon my life, even when I was growing up in KPT, you know, and went out to University High and went on to the University of Hawaii, that God's hand was upon me the whole time. And even though, you know, I grew up in a church and, you know, it was kind of a religious family. Went to church every Sunday, but never had any interest at all in serving God. But I remember when I was an altar boy, and I would kneel down, and I just knew that there was something about the presence of God that would never escape me. You know, that, you know, that there was some kind of connection there that I could never explain. And then finally, you know, I think going into my senior year at University of Hawaii, you know, I'm at this evangelistic crusade, and I'm listening to this minister preach the word, and all of a sudden things began to make sense. And I just knew that there was a puka that was in my heart that I was trying to fill with all these, you know, the things of the world and the fame and the popularity of being a college athlete and the parties and the women. And I was trying to fill this big puka in my heart that seemed like never have a bottom, you know, to it. So finally, when I responded to the altar call and the invitation of the minister, I finally felt like, man, this is it. You know, this is what life was all about, and discovering my purpose then.
I'm just wondering, Joe, and Alfredo and Martin, if there's somebody listening right now who has a puka in their heart and they don't know how to feel it, and they might not even know how to describe it, but that you just said it, is there's a puka in their heart,
right?
And they're saying right now, you know, there's a puka in my heart, I feel this gaping hole. If that's you today, wherever you are, whatever you're going through right now, this is a divine appointment. You're listening to this program because God, in his amazing love for you, he has sent us here. And Pastor Joe Onosai sent him here to share this story. We want to talk to you. Call us at 296-5467. No shame. You can share your heart with us. You can be anonymous if you want. And we will just talk with you and share from our heart what God puts on our heart to share. You know, Joe, as you talk about your life, and I mean, we've been here before, mm-hmm. and we've talked, you know, but there's such a realness to it all. Yeah. You know, you've come along, you've come through the process. There you are in college. You're listening in this evangelistic meeting. You know there's a hole in your heart. How did you respond?
Well, you know, I figure I tried to respond to in all the different ways that I tried to feel that puka, and I figured it never worked.
Right, right.
So I figured I'd try something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just knew that, you know, I was so miserable. And even though, you know, people would probably say, hey, this young man is doing really well. He's on his way to having a great career. You know, in my personal life, I was just miserable because I just felt like, you know, I would lay my head to the pillow in the evening. I would just stare at the ceiling in the darkness of my room and just wonder, you know, what is life about anyway? You know, is it just so I play football and get old and die and that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always used to, you know, wonder, you know, why I was here, you know. And it wasn't until I filled that puka in my heart and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life that I finally discovered what my purpose was, you know. And, you know, I have come to learn that the word purpose means the original intention of a thing or the reason why something exists. And, you know, I never knew that. You know, I never knew that God had put me here on earth with a plan in my life, and the plan was good and not evil, that he had a future for me. And, you know, that became exciting for me because I'm the type, I don't like do something just to do something. There's got to be a reason behind or a why behind what we do. And I just got to the point in my life where I just didn't want to go on with my life until I knew why I was here.
You know, it's so interesting. You know, Joe, I grew up in, you know, religious family too, and just kind of knowing about God, but never really knowing him personally. And what happened was that when I was in college, I saw some people around me that I knew that they had something that I didn't have. And that used to eat away at me because I thought I was religious. I thought I knew God. I knew about God, but never really had a relationship. And I can see, you know, as you were sharing your story, that moment when you received the Lord, something happened. Yeah. It's not no longer just knowing about God, but now you know him personally. And I think there's a lot of people out there, you know, thinking in their mind that they know God. And they might know about God and hear stories about him, but knowing like what you talked about really in a personal way. And I think that's where people come in, you know, you have to come to the place where you accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, believe on him and follow him in all the days of your life. And I think that's really what your story is about and what I hear him coming out of you as you're sharing. Yeah.
Well, and then there's a testament of a life lived consistently for the Lord. You know, we can say whatever we want, right, Martin?
Mm.
Right? We can say things, we could talk a good story, right? We can give lip service to our love for God and our faithfulness to Him. But really, when you see somebody over the course of time, and then the integrity of their commitment shown through the ups and downs of everyday life, and you know, that's why it's to see someone like you, Joe, who has responded to the call of God and who has been a recipient of the grace of God, living day by day. And that, tell us about your, you know, you became a minister, a pastor of, you know, one of Hawaii's most outstanding and thriving churches, Word of Life Christian Center, with Pastors Art and Kuna Sepulveda. I mean, the church is moving and shaking and impacting society in many different aspects of our societal structure. How did it all? How did you connect with them now, and then with the school? How did all that come about?
Well, you know, I had. It's funny you said that that I've been consistent, but you know, there was a time in my life, I think maybe about 7 years after my college career, that I kind of wavered in my faith, and I went through some struggles with my wife, and you know, I used to appreciate my wife, but now I no longer was appreciating her, and. Mm-hmm. You know, some things happened in my life where, you know, I actually got so bitter towards God and I fell away from the faith. And so I think for 2.5 years, no, not I think, I did go on a 2.5 year world tour, yeah, mm-hmm. where I just went out there and I got back, you know, and things just got worse. And, but my wife, you know, my wife wanted a divorce and wanted to get out of this relationship. That she knew that I wasn't serving God the way I was supposed to serve God. She just wanted out. And so finally, she started attending Word of Life Christian Center, and her friends there were encouraging her. And, you know, she said, she gave me the ultimatum. She says, if you want this marriage to work, you're going to have to come to church.
And when we come back, when we come back, you're going to hear how Pastor Joe responded to that ultimatum. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
There's always a strong woman behind the strong man.
Yeah, exactly.
So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities in 2009 to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name. Call Stephen at 674-9977. That's 674-9977. A door to your dream is now open. Kaylee Akina says, I am convinced Danny Yamashiro operates with the authentic gift of evangelism. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed many pastors and church leaders and learned when it comes to evangelism, they have a similar request. We need help equipping our people to do evangelism. In order to meet this need, Danny Yamashiro was led to design his Keys to Effective Evangelism and Mastering Personal Evangelism seminars. In these dynamic presentations, people have said, I never knew evangelism could be so easy. Others state, something special happened in the way I now understand evangelism. I know I can do it. Christian leader Danny Lehman said, Danny Yamashiro bears fruit that remains in his equipping others to share the gospel. For information on dates and locations of Danny's seminars or to book him and his team, go to DannyYamashiro.org. Sponsored by A1A Electrician, Dr. Calvin Oishi, Delta Construction, Eric M. Watanabe Realty, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa, and LT Flooring.
Lord, because that...
Hear me calling,
listening to The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. To be part of today's discussion titled Hope in a Time of Crisis, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-hosts Alfredo Canencia, Billy Lyle, and Martin Arinaga.
Welcome back to our program. We're here with our special guest, Pastor Joe Onosai. Pastor Joe is the athletic director at Word of Life Christian Academy. And during the break, we had a lot of entertaining thoughts that we want to share some with you. But before we went on break, Pastor Joe was talking to us about an ultimatum that his wife had given him during a rough time in his life. And you know, as you listen, you may be going through, you know, a time of struggle, a time of challenge, a time of testing. And we believe God will use this to help you along. Yeah. Tell us what happened.
Well, she said, if you want to stay married, you got to know that it's always been my dream to be married to a man of God. Wow. And so if you're not going to be a man of God, then you need to get out of this house. And so I said, well, I don't want to be a man of God right now, you know? She says, well, if you want to stay in this marriage, you're going to have to come to church. And at that time, she was attending Word of Life Christian Center. And you know, so sometimes I'd stay out late Saturday night, and I'd come home, and she's ready for church, and I'm ready for bed. And she says, no, you're going to church. Either that, pack your bags, get out of here. And of course, so, you know, I would reluctantly grab, you know, put on my nice clothes and go to church with her. And, you know, for several months, I gave the security, the ushers, a very difficult time there. We're like Christian Center. At that time, their parking lot was across the street of where the church is at now. And they made you walk all the way down to Queen and South and then cross the, you know, it was just, to me, it was ridiculous to walk all that way when you could just walk across the street. But there was no crosswalk, you know, that bridged the parking lot. And, of course, I just didn't listen to her. I just would walk right across the street. And, of course, all my friends now who was there then, they tease me about that. They talk about how I had my dark shades on and didn't want to smile at anybody, didn't want to, you know. And even when during the service, when after the praise and worship, you know, pastors would come up and transition the service and say hello to everybody and would tell everybody, hey, you know, before you see them, once you find 10 people and give them a hug or shake their hands and tell them something. Well, I wouldn't say anything. And I just give everybody the stinkest look because I didn't want nobody to come near me. And because people, you know, I was pretty buff back then, you know. And
he's still buff. A little bit
softer now.
But just shifted a little bit.
Yeah, shifted a little bit south. But people were just intimidated. They didn't want to. They kind of gave me my space, and I really needed some space back then. But you know, after hearing the word of God, constantly being ministered every week, and hearing Pastor R and Pastor Kuna minister the word, it was like a hammer that began to slowly shatter this hard concrete heart.
Wow!
And I think it was about 2.5 months, you know, of going to church where I finally started clapping. Started clapping with praise and with the music team. And then about 2 weeks after that, one hand went up, you know, during worship. And then about 2 weeks after that, both hands went up. And then that day I went and surrendered my heart to the Lord at the altar. And it has been the same since.
Huh.
I'm wondering if the married women out there listening to this broadcast and saying, I have a ultimatum that I want to deliver to my husband. That doesn't sound like advisable tactics. But it worked out okay.
It worked out. You know, okay. I needed that push. You know, for me, I knew that I did not want to be living my life without this woman. And even though I was stubborn in my heart, you know, because I was not living for God at that time, I knew that I wanted to stay married to my wife. And so when she gave me the ultimatum, I said, okay, you know, even though reluctantly, but okay, I'll be obedient, you know.
So I guess to encourage the women, or maybe there are actually men who are believers that may be working on their wives. Would you say that possibly a sincere, honest love and persistence?
Yeah.
Is that a great way to do it?
I didn't know then, but my wife told me later how she would pace the bedroom and just pray over the bed and over the house. And she says, Lord, I thank you that my husband is a man of God. She would constantly speak these words over my bed because she knew that I was never in the house. I would only come home after I was drunk.
Yeah.
And she would say, Lord, I thank you when he lays in his bed that he will sense your presence.
Hmm.
And she was a warrior. Even though she had to be hard and stern with me because I was drunk most of the time. You know, she really was persistent in the area of the spiritual realm where she just began to cover me with prayers and said, Lord, you know, this guy is a man of God. And, you know, enemy, you're not going to take his life. He's a man of God. He's a preacher of the word. And, he's a man of integrity. He's a faithful man. And she would just speak those words
speak
of
those
life,
words.
You know.
Yeah. Awesome.
And because of that, you know, I just knew that I could no longer rebel, you know. And so I know that, you know, some of you out there, if you're in this situation and perhaps your spouse is, he or she is not serving the Lord at this moment, you know, I would just advise you to do what my wife did.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Just cover the house, the bed, the car with prayer and just say, Lord, I thank you that this, you know, right now my husband or my spouse is being rebellious and not wanting to serve you, but Lord, I thank you that this person is a man of God and this person is a woman of God. And I believe that you pray and God will respond.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Well, we can actually see that happening.
Yeah.
You know, with right here. And I think in a lot of ways we are all beneficiaries of someone praying. And I guess I would reiterate, Pastor Joe, what you said. Keep praying.
That's right.
Keep praying for your loved one. Keep praying. You know, when we come back, we want to talk about, when we talk about praying for kids, for our children, and what difference that can make. And it will mean especially more coming from you because that's what you do, Pastor Joe. Work with families and children. So stay with us. We'll be right back. We're in a lot of ways just getting warmed up. We'll be right back.
Leave it to me. I lead you on.
Lee Aquino says, I am convinced Danny Yamashiro operates with the authentic gift of evangelism. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed many pastors and church leaders and learned when it comes to evangelism, they have a similar request. We need help equipping our people to do evangelism. In order to meet this need, Danny Yamashiro was led to design his Keys to Effective Evangelism and Mastering Personal Evangelism seminars. In these dynamic presentations, people have said, I never knew evangelism could be so easy. Others state, something special happened in the way I now understand evangelism. I know I can do it. Christian leader Danny Lehman said, Danny Yamashiro bears fruit that remains in his equipping others to share the gospel. For information on dates and locations of Danny's seminars or to book him and his team, go to DannyYamashiro.org. Sponsored by A1A Electrician, Dr. Calvin Oishi, Delta Construction, Eric M. Watanabe Realty, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa, and LT Flooring. Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities in 2009 to join a Paradise Global mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name. Call Stephen at 674-9977. That's 674-9977. A door to your dream is now open. You're listening to The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. To be part of today's discussion titled Hope in a Time of Crisis, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Alfredo Canencia, Billy Lyle, and Martin Arinaga.
Welcome back to our program. You know, this program would not be possible without the support of our corporate sponsors. And from the generous donations of Wally Ho's Garage and Grill on Kamehameha Highway in Aiea, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Burt's Unocal on School Street, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Delta Construction, and LT Flooring. A big mahalo to our sponsors. We're here with Joe Onosai, and he's been speaking to us, and it's really been touching our hearts, and I know it's been touching your heart in a very gripping way. You know, before we went on break, we were talking about families and praying for your spouse, and the issue of purpose came about.
And Joe, on your, as you were sharing your opening remarks, you mentioned the word purpose, and that caught my attention. And I'm thinking here, I'm looking at someone who has attained a level in your career in sports, and yet when you got there, you felt like it wasn't enough. This wasn't it. I mean, a lot of people, if I tell them, what's your purpose, an athlete, oh, I want to be in the NFL, and that's it. You were there, and yet you found that that probably is not enough. So I was wondering, what is your purpose, and how did that change? How did that take your game to a new level? And what is Joe going to do before you finally cross that end zone?
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought my purpose was to make millions of dollars in the NFL and then bling, you know, with driving nice cars, big house. And I soon found out it was a little bit different, you know. For years after my Dallas Cowboy career and I entered the ministry, I traveled with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, who ministered to many men and had a great men's ministry internationally. And one day he asked me, he said, Joe, what is your purpose in life? And give it to me in one sentence. And I was like, how can I do that? Life is so big. I cannot do it in one sentence. And he says, you know, corporations and businesses have a mission statement, and yet many men don't have a mission statement. So I want you to give me your mission statement or your vision for your life in one sentence. Well, 2 years later, I finally figured it out.
To come up with one sentence.
It took me 2 years, yeah, to come up with one sentence, because I had like several paragraphs, and in my devotions and journaling, I just could not. And finally, in a time of prayer, over 2 years later, I finally saw him again, and I said, I got it. And God gave me this one sentence, and my whole life is built around it. And that is this, that my desire is to influence and inspire young people to discover, develop, and release their God-given potential. And so everything that I do, if it does not line up with that one sentence, I don't do it. Right. Because my destiny and my life and my purpose is all summed up in that one sentence.
Hmm. It's all about other people. It's not about Joe.
No, I
didn't hear anything about you.
No, because I didn't realize that my gifts were not for me, that my gifts were for others, you know. And once I got that statement, I realized that I was not my own and that my life was not for my own selfish desires, but it was to prepare myself, to strengthen myself, so that I could make an impact in people's lives.
That's powerful. Can you give us that sentence again?
Yes, my desire is to inspire and influence young people to discover, develop, and release their God-given potential. So everything I do is not, you know, what I enjoy doing, working with young people today at Word Life Academy is that's what I'm doing, is I'm helping them through athletics to discover their gifts and to discover their talents and their abilities, and then help them to develop it and mentor them and disciple them in those areas, that one day my hopes is that they'll be releasing, you know, that anointing and that giftings in their life, and that their life become more about others and not about themselves.
What would you say would be the top three or five things that today, 2009, God has shown you these top ways to reach into the heart of young people that connect with them? What have you seen that has worked?
Well, besides getting on MySpace and Twitter and Facebook.
Get with the program.
That's right. You know, because I think you said the key word is connection. You know, you can say great things and quote scriptures from the Bible, but unless you make that connection with them and really build a bridge so that they give the permission for you to speak into their lives, you will never gain access, you know, even with your great knowledge of the scriptures. And because that's why, you know, many times I hear so many great sermons and so many great, but you know, a lot of times, and we hear the old adage that people don't really care about how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
And especially with this generation, I find that, you know, unless you make that connection with them somehow, and you know, my connection with the kids is through our athletic program. But they don't realize that that's just the connection that I have with them, so that I can know them outside of the campus, you know, and outside of school. And sometimes, you know, we're really encouraging some of our teachers, hey, look, you got to see this person when they're on the court. I know you see some of their flaws when they're in the classroom, but you got to come and enjoy how they are when they're on that field or when they're on that court. And you're going to see the gifting of God that is upon their life, and you're going to begin to appreciate what God has in this kid's life, and then you're going to be able to transfer that and help them to bring that same strength and same ability into the classroom, you know? And it's so neat that we've been able to accomplish that. But, you know, I know that the biggest thing for me is to make a connection with the kids. And, you know, that's why sometimes I study some of the songs that they listen to. Sometimes I'll get onto MySpace, and I'll take the risk of seeing some of the yucky stuff to be able to decipher and see what these kids are listening to and watching, so that I'm able to talk straight to them, you know. And because sometimes, you know, when you talk to a person from a foreign country, it's difficult to understand their accent, and sometimes it's difficult to appreciate what they're trying to share with you. But when you can speak the lingo, you know, when you can talk at their level, and sometimes I'll bring up some songs, you know, in my message that will just blow their minds, like, oh, you know that song? You know, and so, you know, a lot of it is just trying to keep current. But the whole goal is not for me to go into the world and try to, you know, have some of that to be part, you know, make me impure, you know. My whole goal is that I want to make a connection with this generation.
It goes back to your mission statement, your purpose statement, right?
Exactly.
It's consistent with that.
You know, what helps me is that I have, you know, three daughters that are, you know, they're in their early 20s now, you know, but when they were growing up in high school, you know, if I needed to know what was going on, I would just ask them. You know, say, okay, what's the current thing? What people listen to? What are they talking about? What's hip? What's cool? What's not? You know, and only because I wanted to make that connection with the young people.
I better start listening to my kids then.
Well, you know, but the good thing is that, you know, I think even the temptation, even, you know, my kids are pastors' kids, and, you know, I think the temptation that a lot of pastors have is to you cannot do this, you cannot do that, and you you put this legalistic thing around them, not knowing that, you know, they're not of the world, but they're still in the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so learning how to work with them and help them to make right decisions on what to listen to, what to watch. And I think because, you know, we kept that relationship and the connection, you know, that they, I was able to appreciate them, and they were able to hear me out as well. And especially when some songs was just totally vulgar and just have absolutely no point, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was able to coach them on certain songs. I said, well, you know, this song is, you know what they're really talking about. They have, Dad, of course we know what they're talking about. Okay, well, why would you want to pump that junk into you, mm-hmm. you know, 24/7? And, of course, we would have debates going on, you know. But I think the great thing is that you give them something, a standard, so that they can make their decisions.
You know, a while back, you know, you were, this being sitting in a radio studio is nothing new to you. You know, you had your Street Talk program, you know, several years ago that really connected with a lot of young people. I remember that time, you know, and how many lives were being touched. So back then already, the Lord was enlarging your platform in the lives of young people. Where do you see the Lord directing you, you know, in the future?
You know, my whole goal, and as an assistant pastor, you know, my desire is to assist Pastor Art and Kuna, and that's been my dream, to help them fulfill their dreams. And I know that I believe in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, I believe that talks about that when you're faithful with that which is another man's, mm-hmm. how will you ever get your own? And I know that there's something that God is preparing me for, but I know that as Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole used to always say that you're only qualified to lead to the degree that you know how to follow, you know. Yeah. And, you know, I'm being a good follower right now. I'm being one that's a big supporter. And Pastor Art had some, and Kuna have some major dreams. I mean, you know, it blows my mind what they want to accomplish for God's kingdom. And I have the privilege and the honor to help them in that. I know that some of my dreams is to travel. You know, for the last 8 years, I haven't traveled as much as, you know, as you minister overseas at crusades and stuff. When I first came to the Lord, I started doing a lot of that, and I started traveling. But the last 8 years, I've been basically learning how to pastor, mm-hmm. or have a pastor's heart, although I think my gifting is more in evangelism. But it's been good for me to learn the heart of a pastor so that it sharpens me in my evangelistic skills and know and appreciate what pastors go through.
Yeah.
You know, because we blow in, blow up, blow out, but the pastors are the one that got to stay with them and actually shepherd the flock.
So. And sometimes put the pieces back together.
So put the back, yeah, after exactly. The after we blow them up. But I know, you know, also one of our biggest challenges is our athletic program. You know, and it's been neat to see how God is growing our program in our school, and you know, having a football, our own football team.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know, two football teams, our intermediate and our varsity, with a school that's only about 200 students in the 7th grade to the 12th, is an incredible miracle.
You're right. I was going to say that same word, and let's talk about that miracle when we come back. Stay with us with Pastor Joan Osai. We'll be right back.
So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities in 2009 to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name. Call Stephen at 674-9977. That's 674-9977. A door to your dream is now open. Kaylee Aquino says, I am convinced Danny Yamashiro operates with the authentic gift of evangelism. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed many pastors and church leaders and learned when it comes to evangelism, they have a similar request. We need help equipping our people to do evangelism. In order to meet this need, Danny Yamashiro was led to design his Keys to Effective Evangelism and Mastering Personal Evangelism seminars. In these dynamic presentations, people have said, I never knew evangelism could be so easy. Others state, something special happened in the way I now understand evangelism. I know I can do it. Christian leader Danny Lehman said, Danny Yamashiro bears fruit that remains in his equipping others to share the gospel. For information on dates and locations of Danny's seminars or to book him and his team, go to DannyYamashiro.org. Sponsored by A1A Electrician, Dr. Calvin Oishi, Delta Construction, Eric M. Watanabe Realty, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa, and LT Flooring. You're listening to The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. To be part of today's discussion titled Hope in a Time of Crisis, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-hosts Alfredo Canencia, Billy Lyle, and Martin Arinaga.
Welcome back to our program, The Good Life. The Good Life for you today. We're here with Pastor Joe Onosai. He's also the athletic director. He's an assistant pastor at Word of Life Christian Center. They're with Pastors Art and Kuna Sepulveda. And he is the athletic director of Word of Life Academy. And we were just talking about the miracle of the student body and the competitiveness of the athletic program. Pastor Joe, tell us about that.
Well, you know, it's neat to see our program grow. I believe it was 9 years ago that we entered the ILH, and we started off with basketball and volleyball teams. And, you know, our volleyball team has been doing really well, our girls' volleyball. They lost in the state championship this past year against Hawaii Baptist with just by 2 points. It went all the way to five games. It was an exciting game. Hmm. But they've been to the state championships twice, and the main game, and so they've done really well. And we got a lot of young kids coming back. Our basketball teams made state this year, however they lost in the first round, you know. But so we're really happy with what the Lord's doing in our school. Even you know, we started our own baseball program. We have our own swimming program, swimming, diving. We have our own golf program, our track program. But I guess the thing that what I'm really proud of is our football program, you know, because, you know, there's in the ILH, there's like 26 schools now, but there's still only six, you know, well, up until we started our program, there was only six programs. And that's because football is just a huge monster, you know, budget-wise, and just finding the kids. And so for us to have our own football program, and we started 4 years ago on the intermediate level, worked our way up to last year, finally starting our varsity program, you know, it was, I just keep saying it was all God. There's just no way 200 students from 7th to 12th grade that you have two football teams. Wow. And yet God has been good.
What kind of doors has the Lord opened for you, you know, through the athletic program for you to, you know, share the hope, the love, the grace that is found in Christ through sports?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the neat thing is just even in, you know, because Word of Life is a Christian school, you know, we've been able to share our faith even in sports. And for example, our football program, when we take the field, you know, we go in and we sing some old Christian songs like This is the Day That the Lord Has Made. And they sing it at the top of their lungs. They sing The Joy of the Lord Is, you know, The Joy of the Lord Is My Strength.
Wow.
You know, they sing I will enter the gates with thanksgiving in my heart. You know, they sing all these songs before the game even starts, right there on the field. So, you know, teams are not used to that, you know. They're not used to that because they're, like, freaking out. Like, these guys are praising God in the middle of the field. And and then, you know, at the end of the game, what we look forward to is when our kids, you know, in ILH, they like to sing their alma mater at the end. Mm-hmm. And so when teams sing, after they sing their alma mater, what we do is we sing How Great Is Our God, and we worship God like nobody's business. And it's been so awesome because, you know, our crowd and even Christians who are, in the, you know, part of the other crowds, they hear us singing, you know, How Great Is Our God, and they see our kids lifting their hands and worshiping, and they'll join in with us, you know, and worship with, along with us. And so, you know, those type of lessons has been really awesome for me to and my coaches to pass on to our kids that no matter where you're at, you praise God, you worship God. And, you know, those lessons have been really awesome.
You know, and I think about, you know, the daily work, whether in the marketplace, in the corporate world, in the education world, in the medical field. You know, the Christians are scattered throughout strategically by God. And there's a passage of Scripture that says, "He who honors me, right, I will honor." Mm. And every day we have opportunities given by the Lord to honor Him, and just to honor Him. And that's a great example, the success in these early years. It's really like a David and Goliath scenario.
Yeah.
When you look at the size, not only the size of you know, the size of programs, size of years in the established educational program in the state of Hawaii, and a young school and a young team and a young program coming up competing at the top levels, and not only competing but winning. I think it's attributed to the fact that you guys honor God and largely in large measure. And I think it would be an encouragement for our listeners today. You know, before we have Pastor Joe, you know, answer this last question and say a prayer. But maybe today you're given an opportunity, you're at the crossroads, and you can either kind of keep your faith to yourself,
right,
you could either kind of be a discreet, reticent follower of Jesus Christ,
right,
or you could, not in a bombastic, prideful, arrogant, and irritating way, but just in a solid, sincere way, give praise to God.
Right.
Thank God. Lift up the name of Jesus and lift Him up and see what God will do in your life, right, in your difficult moment, in your difficult circumstance.
Yeah.
What do you say, Coach?
You know, one of the things that, you know, I've coached athletics many years too, and a lot of times you have Christians, but they're afraid to blow their cover, mm-hmm, and really make a stand for God. And, you know, I like what you're doing with your athletes, teaching them, you know, that, hey, serving God is okay. You know, on the field, wherever they are, they can live for God. And, you know, it's like for any of us, wherever we are, in an office place or the campus, or, you know, in the marketplace, the community, we have an opportunity to really live for God in a way where people can see it and not kind of go through an undercover Christian mentality where we cover up and, you know, we humble. We say we humble, but we just kind of go on, do our thing, but not really shine for God. And man, just hearing that story, I can realize how the principle behind that, the kids are really, you know, not just playing sports, but really living for God, you know. And it doesn't show up in the win and loss column, but, you know, your example and people see that witness, that's very powerful.
You know, Pastor Joe, you know, right now somebody, a parent, maybe on their last, the last notch of the rope, you know, in terms of patience with their child. Yeah, they feel like giving up. They feel like they've tried everything, but they're exasperated right now. The child may be in sports, may not. Maybe in athletics, they may have different kind of issues. But right now, that's the challenge that they're facing. They don't feel like they've had all advantages. They feel like the cards weren't so-called dealt equally. And they're frustrated. and they're challenged, and they feel like giving up. They're losing hope right now. It's a crisis moment for them. What would you say? What do you feel God would want to say to them at this time?
Well, you know, through our athletic program, even though we're a Christian school, our kids are just like any other kids that are going to the public schools. They got families that are going through struggles. Some of the kids come from broken homes as well. And, you know, their parents send their kids to our school in hopes that our Christian influence will be able to mark them and help them. And, you know, that's the what I wanted to do is just encourage those of you who are perhaps you have a child that perhaps is not straying or half strayed, just not to get discouraged. You know, there's certain things that you can do with your own ability and your own power. And I think a lot of times as parents, because I'm a parent as well, you want to control. You want everything to be under your control, you know. But the bottom line is we try to teach our kids the best as we can and prepare them for life. And then from then on, you got to trust that the decisions that they will make will be good. And so I just want to encourage you not to quit on them. Just stay, hang in there, pray for them. And I just know that God's word will not return void unto him, but it will accomplish that which he pleased and prosper in the thing for which it's sent.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Joe Onosai. And we've talked about things that are close to his heart and close to your heart. Until next week, along with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia, Martin Arinaga, and Billy Lyle, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you every step of the way as you remind someone today that Jesus Christ is calling you. We'll be back next week. Come back and join us. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's discussion series titled Hope in a Time of Crisis with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life is a ministry of Paradise Global Mission and airs every Thursday at 2 p.m. right here on AM 760 KGU. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to talking with you next week on The Good Life. Just leave.